From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast, is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Hey, motherfuckers. What's up? It's Christina Hutchinson.
And Corinne Fisher. You're about to listen to a clip of our show. Guys, we fucked the anti-slut-shaming podcast. And today we have a legendary guest. It's Margaret Cho. So if you want to listen to more of this interview and a collection of other incredible interviews we've done with groundbreaking people, you're going to head over to luminarypodcasts.com where you can get a subscription for as little as $2.99 a month.
Did you learn? So you learned about pickling. Did your parents go over sex with you as a Korean child?
No, they still have not. I'm in my 50s, and they still have not told me where babies come from.
Damn.
I think that's really rude. And so they, as far as they know, I don't know.
Wow. And so they just pretended like the subject didn't exist. Like that's pretty common, unfortunately.
Yeah. I mean, I've come out to them. I've come out to them about three times too. I've come out to them as a lesbian. I've come out to them as a bisexual. I've come out to them as straight. And I've
in
come
that
out
order?
To them again, but yeah. And then I came out backward. I've come out three times, but then come back in and then come back out. So over time.
So where are we
at? Somebody else. Oh, yeah, where are we at? I think I'm still at bi. I'm back to bi.
Okay. Back to buy. Okay. And were there individual people, or was it experiences, or just like introspection that made you come to these different conclusions throughout your life?
It's mostly been people and mostly people, I think.
Mm-hmm. And, okay. So you meet a person that you fall for, and then you're like, oh, okay, I guess this falls under the spectrum of bisexuality. That kind of thing?
Yeah. And then I think, oh, I'm going to stay this way. And now I think I'm just kind of like, oh, I think I'm just going to be bi. But then I think I'll be bi and single, which is the thing that my parents really hate the most is the single.
Damn, that's the scarlet letter out of everything.
We feel you.
I hate single.
Yeah.
Which I love the most single.
Honestly, yeah, I've been single the past 2 years, haven't had sex in 8 months, don't even have a crush on anybody, and I gotta say, the most at peace I've ever been in my whole life. Mm-hmm. So the ship is not being rocked at all, but it's kind of nice.
We've been thinking about being a single, and I often feel like I might be my own soulmate and that I am just someone who doesn't function well in relationships. Do you find, I know you were married, just mm-hmm. once, correct?
Yes.
And so what do you see? What are like the different sides of yourself that you see between like single Margaret and married or in a relationship Margaret? Because I see a drastic change in myself.
I think I'm in a relationship, but it's not, it's definitely, well, I live alone.
Nice.
Okay. And I live, and our relationship is very mature, and it's also very much like it's adaptable and easy, and it's grown. It's like whatever I need to do, I can do, and if we want to come together, we can come together, and if we want to be apart, we can be apart. It's fine.
Wow, that's very mature.
It's very mature, and it's very grown, and I feel really good about it and comfortable about it, and it doesn't feel like anything I've been in before.
Okay.
And it's with a man, and it feels really complete, but it's also really easy. I feel like hormonally I'm in a different place too. Mm. I don't have the urgency that I had when I was, say, in my 30s or even my 40s. So there's a sense of kind of I'm not sure I entirely believe in menopause either. Because I do feel still sense of sexual vibrancy and a sexual excitement and fun and thrill, but there's a less of a sense of urgency and alarm when things don't necessarily go my way.
Right. Like, you know? What's an example of a situation where you would typically freak out or get really pissed or?
Well, say like, okay, I don't get to see this person that I like.
Yeah.
But I don't see him. Like, we have to not see each other for a couple of weeks or something. I don't go into an alarm spiral, mm-hmm. or I don't get upset. I'm like, okay.
that's nice.
You know, whereas maybe 5 years ago, it would be a complete disaster.
Yeah.
Whereas I would just be panicked about it or really upset. Whereas now I'm like, oh, okay. It's not even something that I think about. And it's a real shift in kind of the dynamics of the way that my, I think that my hormones work with my emotions. My hormones seem to be much more detached from my emotions than they
were. Well, as women get older, we get more testosterone. And as men get older, they get more estrogen. So that actually makes a lot of sense because I feel like estrogen is tied to a more attachment and a hyper awareness almost of your emotions. And it's like they're a little bit under a magnifying glass. And then as you get more estrogen, we just chill the fuck out. But then also get hornier, I've been told. And I'm like, that's exciting.
Yeah.
I never want to not be horny.
It's good, but it's less emotionally bound up in a kind of feeling of urgency and, there's like less sort of a need attached to it. So it's very different, but good.
But calm. And you can both, calm. It sounds like in your relationship now, you can be both independent and while you're together. That's like the golden mixture of factors that I think exists somewhere in the distance that I'm glad to know it actually does exist because the idea of we've really been exploring. I was in a relationship for 7 years that ended like a year or two ago, and just exploring what does it mean to be in a relationship? What are relationships? And then realizing you can make your own rules. You can make your own rules about who you date. Yeah. You could change those rules to your own comfort levels as long as the person that you're with is okay with that. And so realizing that you can make your own rules has like been a huge thing for me. When did you know that? When did you realize that you don't have to put yourself in a box?
Well, I've been trying to explore that, I think, really for the last, really intensely for the last 5 years, really try to free my mind as to relationship. Also, I'd never dated on apps before. I started. And that was crazy too, because there was such a variety of people, and I really am attracted to lots of different kinds of people, but I set my range too wide because it was like 23 to 71 and it was men and women and non-binary folks.
Yeah.
And it was too many people.
It's too many choices. Yeah.
Yeah. That seems paralyzing almost.
It was so many people.
Connecting on an app is so strange because some of the people are just so horny and it's like, you can tell, like, I know what you mean to say and how you mean to communicate, but the way you're coming off is just way too horny for your own good and you can't even get your thoughts straight. Did you experience any of that with the messages?
Yes. Yes. And then some people are so needy and then some people are so flaky.
Yeah.
And then it's like, what the fuck is happening? Like, and then some people are a combination of the two, needy and flaky at the same time. And
good
then
God.
I'm like, what the fuck is wrong with you? And then the people that I connected most with, which is so funny, are like the 23-year-old, 24-year-old non-binary people who we didn't even talk about sex. We talked about communism. And we talked about the possibility
about right.
of socialist anarchy and like, you know, government and an army of lovers and like all this weird shit that has nothing, and Tiananmen Square and all this shit that had nothing to do with sex, and then makeup. And it was really funny because it was like, wow, this is what I'm connecting with, is it? But it was like with the youth of politics and like society, and it made me feel really good because it was like really like young people, but it was also not about sex. It was really about this sort of anarchist spirit that I was getting into, but it was very interesting.
I feel like comedians always, like, no matter how old we as comedians get, we always end up connecting with, like, the youngest generation. Yeah. And that's like the key to staying relevant as a comedian.
Absolutely.
Because a lot of my favorites, you and Sarah Silverman, we always see on Twitter just really, like, kind of like almost reemerging as a 22-year-old woman again and again.
Yeah.
Oh, I know. I love that. Yeah. I love Sarah. She's so great. And she's so, to me, she's still 19. And like, I'm like, are you 19? Like, she's just like, she is such a young spirit. She's like a fairy, a wood sprite.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. She's so beautiful. I think that's the key though, is to stay young and to hang out with young people.
Yep.
And to, really listen to what they're saying, because they have the right idea all the time. But it's always like really, I think it's really important. I definitely, but I'm never really attracted to younger people. I had sex with one guy who's, I think he was like 27. And it was weird because I felt weird because it was like very like, this is so young. Like I was like, this
yeah,
is.
Yeah, he felt young.
Yeah, and I'm 51.
Yeah.
So I'm like, this is really too young. And he was really into it, but I was like, this is so...
There's so many guys that I know all throughout my life that are, that their sexual demographic is older women. They like, and I don't know, who did we just talk? Oh, Cindy Gallup. We talked
Cindy,
to.
A woman named Cindy Gallup.
She's in her 60s, and she exclusively fucks men in their 20s. And she's like, they're so... sweet and kind, and I'm like, and attentive and good in bed, and I'm like, damn, that's good to know. I've never been attracted to the younger guy because I don't know. I like that older show me something daddy kind of vibe. So
hey fuckers, we hope you like that little chunk of interview that we had with the legendary. I'm not gonna edit this because you know what, life, sometimes we're flawed and
we're
not gonna
people.
Cover it up. We're real. We hope you enjoyed that chunk of interview with the legendary Margaret Cho. If you want to hear the whole thing and you want to hear other really great podcasts like Frontier Tween, the Rewatchable 1999, and I Am Rappaport podcast, head on over to luminarypodcast.com. You can get a subscription for as little as $2.99 goddamn cents a goddamn month. We love you.
Do it.
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.